You're going to open up to Psalm 24 this morning, Psalm 24. The glory of God is in the world, folks, and He's in our nation. We have to believe it. And when we do, we will see His glory all around us. There will be no mistaking it. Psalm 24, verse 1. The earth is the Lord's, and all its fullness, the world and those who dwell therein, those who live in. That's talking about all of us and every creature. God created it, and He sustains it. When God created the world, He did not just leave it. He lives in the midst of the splendor of His first creation here, this earth. He is forever and always involved in the nature and of the history of this nation. God is in control. Don't be moved by what you see or what you hear. Be moved by what you believe. God is in control. In Romans chapter 8, Romans chapter 8, we're going to look to verse 18. There I go, licking that finger. Sorry, Therese. Romans 8:18. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. The sufferings of the present are slight when compared with the glory to be revealed in us. God's character in us. Paul goes on in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Okay. I wait until Shirley turns the page. I saw her write and I waited. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17. Paul says, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us. It's helping to shape us. A far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Eternal weight of glory. In reference to glory as having to do with weight and heaviness, what is exactly meant by that, you might ask? Well, essentially, it is talking about worth and value. Things of value are often measured by their weight. Take, for instance, because I knew you all know this one, gold. Valued by weight. 1 ounce of gold, today's market, is worth $1,988. Nikki's, you go to Timmy's house, there's cans of it buried everywhere.
Keep saying it, brother.
Amen. Amen. But my thing is, that's how much. 1 ounce of gold is worth that much? What do you think the worth of glory is? You can't put a number on it. You cannot put a number on it. A far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. That's what it's working for us. No matter what is going on around us or what we are going through in our lives, in our physical bodies. Are you ready for this one, Dean? Don't let it get your focus off Jesus and the promises of God. Okay? Now, I was sitting back and God took me to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20. Remember, don't get your eyes off of Jesus or the promises of God. Because right here it says, for all the promises of God in Him, which we're talking about Jesus, are yes. And in Him, amen, to the glory of God through us. Wow. All the promises of God are yes and amen through Jesus Christ. Now, verse 18. There in 2 Corinthians 4. And I'm going to read this to you, Shirley, out of the Amplified Classic Edition. Okay. Be exalted above the heavens. Or wait, jumped up. That would not have went over good. That was all the way down in Psalms. We've got to get there, though. Verse 18, Amplified. Okay. So we look. Look, meaning to keep one's eyes on. That's what it means when it says look. Well, it says, so we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are unseen. You hear me, Tim?
Yes, sir.
Okay. He took care of all five. He's on 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10 right now, brother. Amen? For the things which are visible are temporal, just brief and fleeting. But the things which are invisible are everlasting and imperishable. But you might ask, how are we going to do that? You're going to do that through faith and believing. That's how we're going to do that.
Amen.
Now we'll go to Psalms. Psalm 57. Sometimes it's easy to get ahead of yourself when your mind's just going, and I just want the Holy Spirit to just take over.
Amen.
So, Psalm 57, verse 5. Again, Amplified. Be exalted above the heavens, O God. Let your glory and majesty be over all the earth. Let your glory, let your presence, that's what that means. Let your presence and your majesty, your power. Let your presence and your power be over all the earth so that it can be seen by all. Because the earth is the Lord's and all its fullness. Amen? For He is the King of glory. He is the King of glory. You're there in Psalms. Go back to that 24 that we started with. Psalm 24. Verse 10. After they had blown the shofars and sang. Verse 10 says, who is He, this King of glory? The Lord Almighty. He is the King of glory. Who is the Lord Almighty?
Yeah.
Go back to Revelation 4:8. It'll tell you who it is. The Lamb of God. We're talking about Jesus. The Hebrew word translated glory here is kabod. which means wait. W-E-I-G-H-T. Literally translated in the Hebrew to mean heavy weight. Kabod carries a connotation of magnificence and power. Calling God the King of Glory means He is the most awesome, most powerful King. And He is to be taken very seriously. You hear that, Washington, D.C.? You hear that, all you up there that we voted into office? You better take Him seriously, because He's going to shake that literal foundations over there. He did it for a few years now. He's going to continue. He isn't done yet. He isn't done shaking the foundations. Maybe they'll realize what the foundation of this nation was built on, and that was the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and the Word of God. Praise God is right, Nick. He is worthy of all of our praise, all of our honor, and the glory. In John chapter 11, John chapter 11, verse 40, we've been using this one a lot. Verse 40, Jesus said to Martha, "Did I not say to you, if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? You would see the presence of God with all His beauty, radiance, magnificence, majesty, might, and power." You know what I'm telling you this morning? Believe, and you will see the glory of God. Now, Nelson's Bible Dictionary says, "To believe is to place one's trust in God's truth." Are you listening, Brother Dane? Truth is that which conforms to reality as it is perceived by God. He knows all things exhaustively, and so we can trust anything He reveals in His Word. Absolute truth is something that is true at all times and in all places. It is something that is always true, no matter what the circumstances. It is a fact that cannot be changed. Need an example? There are no round squares. God made it pretty simple for me. I hope that makes it simple for you. There are no round squares. God's truth is absolute, meaning it does not change because God does not change. And His Word never changes. And it accomplishes what He sent it to do. I thought somebody would be saying, "Yeah, Hebrews 13:8. Go ahead, real loud. He is the same today and forever." His truth is absolute. It doesn't change because He does not change. A person who believes is one who takes God at His word and trusts in Him. Say, "I believe." But you know, that's going to take some faith, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
Going to take some faith. Mm-hmm. You know, and faith is defined as complete trust in someone or something. And that someone is the Lord, right? Trust in the Lord with all your... Right. But it's going to take faith. What is faith? What is faith? Hebrews 11:1. Hebrews 11:1. "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, It's the evidence of things not seen. Let's crank it up just a notch with the Amplified. Now, faith is the assurance, the confirmation. Do you ever notice when you pay a bill online, you get a confirmation number?
Yes,
it's proof. Now, faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed. When you have that title deed, it's yours, right?
Yes,
you got the title. When you pay off the car, you get the title. When you pay off your house, you got the deed to your house.
Amen.
Of the things we hope for, being the proof of things we do not see, and the conviction of their reality, faith perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses. Nelson's Bible Dictionary defines faith as a belief in or confident attitude toward God involving commitment to His will for one's life. In John 11:40, God has connected the sight of His glory with the exercise of faith. He made the connection. What moves God is our faith in Him. When we have a need, we pray, right? Rattle, 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 rattle. Okay. Prayer moves you and me. It is faith that moves God. The value of prayer is twofold. Now, some may ask, doesn't God already know my need? Well, yes, He does. Yes, He does. In Matthew 6:8, you don't have to turn there, but I give that to Shirley, she could write it down. Jesus said, "Your Father knows what you need before you ask Him." Right there, we know He knows exactly what we need. But we must ask. We must ask. That is why Jesus said in Mark 11:24, "Whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them." Shirley, let's turn there to Mark 11. Mark 11:24. And I don't know if you've not already done this, but I'm going to tell you what you need to do right here. God says, right next to that scripture in your Bible, I want you to write this. Prayer of faith. That's what this is. That is the prayer of faith. Mark 11:24. Whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. That's how you put God on the move. Because what does Hebrews 11:6 tell us? Hebrews 11:6. Says, "But without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him." Now I went to the Passion Translation. I'm going to see what it said there. And it says, "Without faith living within us, it would be impossible to please God." You know, in the Greek, the word here is adenetos, meaning we are powerless to please God.
Mm-hmm.
That's what that word means in the Greek. We would be powerless to please God without faith. When you go to God, you must go to God in faith, believing that you've received. And you'll walk away with what you asked for. For we come to God in faith. Anyone who approaches God must approach Him believing.
Amen.
Knowing that He is real and that He is a rewarder and rewards the faith of those who give all their passion and strength into seeking Him. You know, the Bible tells you how to accomplish each and everything. All in the same scriptures. Seeking to see His glory. Seeking to see His face. And how do we do that? With our whole heart. In Deuteronomy chapter 4. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 29. But from there you will seek the Lord your God, and you will find Him if you seek Him with all your heart and with all your soul. That went all the way back to the beginning. We're told that through Proverbs. How many times? You seek the Lord with your whole heart and with your soul. Seek Him. And you will find. Just like Moses. What did Moses say in Exodus 33, verse 18? And he said, please, please, show me your glory, God. And you know what God said? Okay. 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 It's that simple. Moses asked to see God's glory. He had found grace in God's sight. God's unmerited favor. He had the favor of God. And God knew His name. God knew His name. God told him personally that He says, I have found favor. You have my grace. He says, and I even know your name. I called you by name. I know you by name. And he got to see God's glory. Because of grace. And he knew his name. We have found that same grace, that same favor with God through Jesus Christ. That grace, it's the same grace.
Yeah.
And he knows each and every one of us by name. As the Lord said in Isaiah 43, verse 1, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. He says, you are mine. That powerful promise confirms that God knows your name. Tell someone, he knows my name. Go ahead, tell him that he knows my name. That is awesome. You know, just think about it. He knows your name.
Thank you, Lord.
He knows each and every one of you by name. When you ask to see his glory in your life with expectant faith and belief, just like Moses, you will see God's glory in your life. If you're praying for this nation, you'll see the glory of God all over this nation. As it's already here. Open your eyes. Things are happening. Man's not in control. God's in control. Here is heaven's law throughout the economy of faith. He that believes shall see. He that believes shall see. Like I said, glory be to God. Huh? Glory be to God. He that believes shall see. Just so you understand, economy, the definition of economy, the wealth and resources of a country or region, especially in terms of the production and consumption of goods and services. He that believes shall see. The economy of faith. Now, do you understand? Strong economy, strong faith. Weak economy, weak faith. And faith comes by?
Hearing.
And hearing by?
Word.
Amen. Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9. And we'll look to verse 23. Verse 23. And here, this is where we see that the man with a son who has seizures and convulsions and everything going on all the time, and you know, throws himself down to the ground, and foaming at the mouth, and almost like he's dead half the time. And the disciples couldn't do anything about it. So he goes to Jesus, right? And he wants him to have some compassion. Can you help us out here? Can you help us out, Jesus? Verse 23, Jesus said to him, sure can, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. I'm going to read on. Immediately, the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. Do what you are famous for.
Yeah.
Do what you are famous for. If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. If you can believe, what is possible then for you when you believe?
All things.
What?
All things.
Okay. All things. What does the word all mean?
All.
So what's possible to you?
All.
All what?
All things.
Glory to God. It's Jesus. Bring a revelation to them. Let them understand what you're saying. It is not me. It's your words. It's your words. We need to be excited about your word. Be excited about what the word says. The word will get you through each and every situation, every circumstance, everything that plagues your physical body. The word, the word, the word. Nick, does the word work? Amen, it works. Praise God. I don't know about you, but I'm getting excited. See, in God's kingdom, everything works by faith. Works by faith. His word says what? We live by faith. And then some of the other ones said, we walk by faith. And that's 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. We'll say this. I will walk by faith,
I will walk by faith.
Even when I can't see.
Even when I can't see.
Gary, you remember, take a step of faith. Just take a step of faith. When you can't see your hand in front of your faith,
yeah.
Take a step of faith. That's what you do. That goes back a lot of years, don't it, Gary? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But now, that same scripture, though, in the NLT, says, "For we live by believing and not by seeing." You know, and in a PJT version, it says that, "For we live by simply believing and not by seeing." That's the Pastor Jack version. Okay. Simply believe. Sherry, do I get an amen for that? Simply believe. For worldly people, seeing is believing. Do I need to say that again? For worldly people, seeing is believing. We are supernatural people. Because we're part of a supernatural church. It's His church. And it makes us capable of doing supernatural things for Him. But Jesus says to believe and you will see. That's how Jesus puts it. To believe and you will see. What's that going to take? It's going to take some faith. Jordan Felice, the song Faith. There is no ocean that can't be parted. There's no mountain that can't be moved. I know there's help for the heavy-hearted. The weak will find their strength renewed. It's light for the shadows for all your tomorrows. It's knowing He's there through the sun and the rain. It's when you believe it before you can see it. And you can walk on because He's making the way. Just got to have faith. When you don't see, but you believe it anyway, faith. Faith. You just got to have faith. Our life is to a great extent to be one of expectancy. And that is a life of faith and believing. Get your expectations up. Question. Why do so many acknowledge that God can do all things and yet impose difficulties in the way of His doing what would be to their advantage? Selah. Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6. Verses 1 through 6. The Passion translation here. Afterward, Jesus left Capernaum and returned with His disciples to Nazareth, His hometown. On Sunday morning, He went to church. He went to church. And He went to church to teach. Everyone who heard His teaching was overwhelmed with astonishment. They said among themselves, "What incredible wisdom has been given to Him! Where did He receive such profound insights? And what mighty miracles flow through His hands." Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Isn't this Mary's son, the carpenter? That little boy who ran around and played on our streets? Whose brothers are Jacob, Joseph, and Judah, and Simon? And don't his sisters all live here in the city of Nazareth? And they took offense to Him. They took offense. Offense. Here. Okay. Now, in the King James, it uses the word offended. They were offended. Well, this is the Greek word schadalizo. Schadalizo. Meaning to cause a person to begin to distrust God. and desert one whom he ought to trust and obey. Well, when you look it up, it's amazing what the Greek and the Hebrew can teach you. Because you think he offended me. You think so, right? Well, it says right there, to cause a person to begin to distrust and desert one whom he might and ought to trust and obey. Verse 4, and Jesus said to them, a prophet is treated with honor everywhere except in his own hometown, among his relatives, and in his own house. Verse 5. He was unable to do any great miracle in Nazareth except to heal a few sick people by laying his hands on them. I pictured in my mind him walking over and saying, oh, you got a headache? Okay, your headache's gone. Oh, you got a cough? Your cough's gone. He couldn't do any real miracles because they didn't have faith enough. They didn't believe in him. He's the kid who played on the street and they watched him grow up. Kid who grew up on the street and painted the mailboxes with tar in his neighborhood. Nobody wants to listen to him. Who are they? Who are you? I'm the one God chose. I believe that. Jesus was put here. He is God in human flesh on this earth. He walked on this earth in human flesh. God. Think about that for a moment. So when God chooses vessels, and they're chosen by God, I'm just telling you, listen, you don't have to take everything they say as, okay, it's the gospel. Well, no. Your spirit will judge what comes forth and what is said. That's why he gave you the spirit in you. There's a spirit of discernment in you. Because if you aren't comfortable with something, then something's wrong. See, because his word should bring comfort. It should be comfort. Says he was amazed at the depth of their unbelief. Then Jesus went out into the different villages and taught the people. Unbelief robs us of experiencing God's glory. That's his awesome presence, folks. It hinders Jesus from working those miracles which show the glory of what he is famous for. He's still working miracles today. He's still working miracles today. Let him do what he's famous for. Don't hinder him with unbelief. Unbelief, it also hinders us from enjoying the glory, even after we have, in some measure, even seen it. See, man wants to measure God by himself. He will not believe a thing can be done because he can't himself do it or because he can't see how it can be done. Well, you know what? You got to have faith. You got to have faith. We don't have to wait till we get to heaven to experience the glory of God. No, we can experience it right now. We can experience it here today. And we should expect it. We should expect to see his presence. To feel his presence. The glory of God lit up the night skies above the shepherds when his angels announce the birth of our Savior, who is Christ the Lord. All the scriptures also tell us that he dwelt among us. John, that's John 1, 14. He dwelt among us. We beheld his glory, it says, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Through Jesus, we have received grace, the grace of God, the goodness and the unmerited favor of our God. Jesus has already delivered and dispensed all of those things contained in the divine compensation package, the blessings and more. And he gave them to us in reckless abandon. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. We're going to look to verse 8. But you know, I don't think there was enough there. That's why I had to go to the Message Bible for this one. The Message Bible. God can pour on the blessings in astonishing ways so that you're ready for anything and everything, more than just ready to do what needs to be done. As one psalmist puts it, he throws caution to the wind, giving to the needy in reckless abandon. His right living, right giving ways never run out, never wear out. This most generous God who gives seed to the farmer that becomes bread for your meals is more than extravagant with you. He gives you something you can then give away, which grows into full-formed lives, robust in God, wealthy in every way, so that you can be generous in every way, producing with us great praise to God. Let your glory shine. When you're in Walmart and it's pushed on you to pay for someone's groceries, let the glory of God show. Because if not, you regret it. Am I right? Has that ever happened to anyone? Okay. That's how you let the glory of God show. Because he'll give you more than enough to do that with. Sometimes when you don't do it, guess what? You learn, you say, next time, ain't going to be no home back. And pray that God gives you an opportunity to give it next time, to do it next time. You know, don't beat yourself up. I have done crazy things myself. I still remember driving down the road one day and I got told to stop at somebody's house and give them $100. And I said, I didn't hear nothing. driving. This is early on now. Come on. Yeah, I mean, I went right past your house. In fact, I think I speeded up. But I went past the house. I went down all the way down to the bottom of the hill. And I mean, you talk about pressure. Sweat was coming all over me. I said, okay. I turned around and went back up, walked up on their porch, and knocked on their door. And I said, I gave them $100 bill. And as they pulled it, I let go. I said, God just told me to stop and give that to you. And as I got to turn around, they started crying. They said, I was asking God for $100 because we had a bill that needed to be paid. It was $100.
Wow. Thank you, Lord.
I'm just telling you, you know. So I got in a car. All of a sudden, I went. But of course, I was soaking wet because. Now, don't make it harder than what it is. You know, you can't outgive God. When he tells you to do something, just do it. Do what he says to do. Goes a long ways. Goes a long ways. So let me tell you, though, that God wants us to know that he is still in the miracle working business today. Kyle, am I out of time? Because I got so much more. I'm out of time. But please, remember, Don't let the doubt enter in. The miracles are still there today.
Amen.
God's on the throne.
Yes, sir.
And Jesus is right there next to him. And you know where we operate at? Right there beside Jesus.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
Amen.